Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Reggie Johnson. Hey, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We're your hosts this morning on this glorious Tuesday morning, the Tuesday after Super Bowl. And we have Gloria Wells, I hope, who's back with us. We've been holding Gloria in prayer, her and her family. Her husband lost his mother, and so she's been away, but I think she will be back today, maybe tomorrow, most definitely tomorrow, because we are starting our new book study, and Gloria will be leading our book study, and it's called Breaking Free from Critical Addiction. And the title is very misleading, but very on point. I just want to kind of share a little bit about the book. It's written by Callie Marino. And it is not about critical addiction, like, let's say, to drugs. But it's about the critical addiction to our way of thinking. Our subconscious mind, the root, which can be the root of an addiction problem. I'm sorry, Dr. Reggie, I'm boring you.
No, I had to yawn, but I didn't want to yawn into the phone. I said, oh, my God, I yawned, but I didn't want to yawn into the phone, honey. I'm sorry. No, no, your critical addiction doesn't bore me. I don't want to be critical addicted to sleep either.
I'm sorry, Precious. We did hear you, though.
Okay,
anyway,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Callie Marino describes critical addiction as a social disease because she says that we catch it from others. You know, we learn how we, the way we think. We learn our self values, our self-worth is something that's learned from experiences, how we come in contact with other people, and we develop these erroneous beliefs about ourselves. So I think it's going to be a wonderful exploration. And the connection here, you're saying, well, what does that have to do with prosperity? It has everything to do with prosperity. What you think about, you talk about, and what you talk about, you bring about. And for those of you who are into the law of attraction, where your consciousness is going to impact what you're manifesting. It all begins, our life in the physical world is a reflection of our inner world. I don't know how many times I have to say this to you for you to get it. We keep looking at the physical manifestation as the as what's going to bring us our joy, what's going to bring us our happiness, everything. If I can only get this car, if I can only live in this house or have this furniture, all of our effort goes into creating this physical reality. And the juice, the super juice, is really in the inner world. What am I thinking? I sent you guys a video for cleansing your memories. And it's just a beautiful meditation that basically says, I love you. Thank you. I forgive you. You are talking to your soul, to your subconscious mind. It's inner work. For those of you who are looking for a relationship, you really need to watch that video and listen to that video every day. Because until you can begin to love you, who you really are, to forgive you, to thank you, be grateful for you, for your being, for your soul, you're not ready for a relationship. And I know that for a fact because I remember the day like it was yesterday that I moved into the appreciation of me. And when I talk about the appreciation of me, I'm not talking about the ego, Cynthia. I'm not talking about the personality of Cynthia. I'm talking about the divine Cynthia. That is the part of you that you need to embrace, to love, to be grateful for, and to ask for forgiveness for all the erroneous thoughts you have had of you. Then you're ready. Woo! You'll be ready. So, Dr. Reggie, take us into our morning prayer.
Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, brand new day to wipe the slate clean and start off with a new venture in this wonderful life on this planet called Earth. We thank you for the possibility of interdimensional travel and love and peace and poise and healing and light and forgiveness on every level. We thank you for who we are individually, to the core of our real being, the truth of who we are. We thank you for that, and that we can explore the many dimensions and possibilities of ourselves and forgive ourselves and love ourselves and walk in the light of the mind of the Christ. Mm-hmm. Let us always be in position to receive forgiveness, to give love and to tithe, and to be honored in who you are and why we're here. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm just going to say this to you this morning. I love you. I truly, truly love you. We're moving into the closing of our book study of Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay. And this journey has really been about balancing our spiritual life with our earthly living. How do we be in the spirit? How do we walk day by day in Christ's consciousness and still deal with all the mundane things of life? It has been a wonderful journey. I hope that you have enjoyed it as much as I have. This book really got me through a very difficult period. I won't say difficult. It got me through an interesting period in my life. And so I'm really grateful that I had an opportunity to share it with you. Yesterday, for those of you who showed up yesterday, because it was right after Super Bowl, it was kind of amazing to see, oh, my God, people are recovering from Super Bowl Sunday. We had a light day yesterday. But yesterday we were talking about how the I, meaning I, the single letter I, has seen the we, and how we have the potential to bring heaven on earth. And today I'm going to continue that topic somewhat. I'm going to open up. We left off where we were talking about the fact that we are all one in spirit, and the forces of the universe are gently compelling us to know and experience our oneness. Our existence ultimately will be determined because of our willingness to find the beauty in our seeming differences and our oneness in our varied cultures and religions. And this discovery will prosper the world and all its people. We need to rejoice in our diversity, embrace it with love. You see how important it is when you love yourself. When you love the divinity in you, you recognize the divinity in your brother and your sister. And that begins a wonderful love affair on planet Earth. It is the beginning of ushering in heaven on Earth. Years ago, I was reading the April 17th, 1996 USA Today newspaper, and in the health section, I came across a headline that intrigued me. It says, "Viruses mutate among underfed." And the article began by stating that malnourished people may provide a breeding ground for dangerous mutant viruses that then can be passed along and cause illness in otherwise very healthy people. And it continued by detailing this research of virologist, Dr. Melinda Beck of the University of North Carolina, and the implications of her studies conducted in the laboratory mice. So for years, scientists have known that undernourished people are more susceptible to disease than those individuals who eat a nutritious, balanced diet. But now it seems that viruses that are ordinarily not a threat to healthy individuals can mutate in a malnourished body to form a strain of the disease that can infect otherwise healthy individuals. And this may explain why new illnesses seem to originate in third world countries. Dr. Levender, who is a nutritionist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, says that we are our brother's keeper because we're not protected from what might be happening to malnourished people in Africa. There is a need for the industrialized world to reach out to those in need. We are in this together. We cannot turn our backs on what is happening in Africa or in any other country. We are united in body and soul. It is a basic human right to have enough to eat, to have safe water to drink, to have sanitary conditions in which to live, and access to health care and education. The Human Development Report, and I think I shared this with you yesterday, so I'm just repeating it because a lot of you may have missed it, but the Human Development Report of 1998 describes the world in 2050 as being populated by 9.5 billion people, 8 billion of which will be living in poor countries. This is our trend. Most of the world living in poverty, but it does not have to be. It does not have to be. We have the means to make a profound impact on human conditions. The question is, do we have the strength and the will to establish the necessary new priorities? It is understandable, but interesting, that we will rush to the aid of countries whose economies directly affect our own, but we do not assist those countries whose economies have little effect upon our consumer society. When the truth of oneness really dawns in us, not on us, when it dawns in us, and we return to the image of the earth that hangs in the heaven, one without borders or divisions, we will realize that the plight of others is our plight as well. We can be content when the need for sharing is so apparent. How can we be content with so much going on around us? Poverty. All of, in every part of the world. How can we be content? You know, in Islam it is written, riches are not from an abundance of worldly good, but from a contented mind. Taoism declares, He who knows he has enough is rich. And that is what we need. We need a new understanding of riches and wealth. And we need to heed the message that we learned as children to share what you have with one another. Every reluctant child ultimately discovers the joys of giving and of playing in harmony with others. And every reluctant adult will also discover the joy of giving and the wonders of growth that come because the adult has cared for others. You know, one of the things that we talk about here in Circles of Prosperity is when you are experiencing what you perceive to be lack, start giving. Give of your time. Give of your gifts. Give, give, give. Share, share, share. Because you want to move into the alignment of joy. The giving is a doorway to joy. And what do we know about being in joy? Joy connects us to God. Joy is the highest frequency of our soul. So, Earth can be a paradise. Many people are waiting for that divine intervention. They anticipate a savior or a deliverer who will bring peace and plenty to the world. And I suspect that when we are still and when we listen to the divine wisdom that resides in us, it is saying, peace is not mine to bring to you. Peace is present now. It is yours when you honor your differences and discover your oneness. And as you find the beauty in your diversity and you share with one another, then Eden will come again. Not only will you help one another live, you will help one another give expression to all that I am. This is my plan. Make it your own, and poverty will end. Not solely because you have food to eat and water to drink, but because you are rich in your love for one another. Isn't that amazing? You know, the one lesson that Jesus asked of us, the one thing that he asked of us is to love one another. Some have said that that was his only commandment, to love one another. I sent out a post to you guys yesterday, and it simply said, I love you. I love you. So, the spiritual principles that we have discussed during this book study can be applied to all areas of life. I mean, you can use these principles in business and in a ministry or just in your individual life. I believe that their practicality can also be extended to a nation's financial well-being and to the emerging global economy, which binds all the countries of the world together. Just consciously aware of our political environment and our interaction with the world. And it's not wrong that I am, because we're all connected. Everything impacts us all. How our leaders think impacts us all. We've already declared that we are one, correct? it impacts us all. What I find interesting is watching the drama roll unfold before us. In particular, I think we've all been consumed with the economy over the past few years as we watch the stock market go up and down. We watch the members of our family get laid off, people struggling to hold on to their homes. We are all connected. This economy is connected. It impacts all of us. So, yes, I've been paying close attention, and I'm sure many of you have too. What I have found interesting is as I go through these spiritual principles, I can see how we are evolving. You may see disaster, and I'm not going to say that there is no disaster there. Yes, but it's evolving. It's changing. And the one thing that I see more than anything is that it is revealing to us how we connected we are. We are one. We are one. We are one. The strength of any nation is its people. America's founding fathers devised a system of government that, in theory, calls forth the potential of its people. This ideal has not yet been realized, but it is consistent with the divine plan that calls forth the expression of God from within each individual. That's why I say don't put down America. Don't talk about how bad we are. Talk about the potential we have. Because it is in alignment with the purpose, the whole purpose of why we are here. This country is blessed. But it is blessed to be a beacon to all other countries, to tap into the resource of each human individual, rather than to try to hoard all of the power, all of the resources for a select few. In truth, the collective consciousness of the people prospers the nation. But that begins with you. On an individual basis, it begins with you. He says that triumphs and dangers flow from this maxim. For instance, one of the great enemies of divine expression is fear. The economic impact of fear is easily seen when you look at the stock market and how it experiences a massive loss of its values in minutes. Look how quickly the fear spreads and people sell, 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 sell. October the 24th, 1929, it marked the beginning of the stock market's first crash as millions of people withdrew their money in fear of losing it all. And many people did. They lost it all. And since that first Black Thursday, there have been a series of Black days in which prices plummeted. On October 27th, 1997, it was declared a Black Monday as the Dow Jones Industrial fell 550 points in just over 7% of its value. Often, economic indicators remain excellent, but nevertheless, there are times when there's this panic. And the value of the stocks, they decrease by millions of dollars in a single day. So the movement of the stock market tracks to some degree the confidence of the people and their ability to stand firm in the face of appearances. Do you see how this is laying out? Here's a perfect example. If you're constantly looking at, and I opened up sharing this with you this morning, if you are constantly looking at the physical manifestation, you're looking at the evolving, you're looking at change. You don't know which way it's going or what the end result will be or where it's trying to lead you. But all you're looking at is the movement. And what is the source of that? Is that source of that movement fear? To bring forth a manifestation of the worst possible outcome? You don't know. Don't pay attention to the physical manifestation. You have to ignore the physical manifestation. I say to you right now, if you have a desire in your heart and you've planted it there, it's a seed that's going to grow and have a physical manifestation. You cannot look at what's going on outside and think that that is and the drama. It could be just the movement necessary to bring forth your desire. But the minute you see the movement, you panic. That's what happens in the stock market. The minute people stare, they're watching that little ticker. It used to be only the wealthy could get this, the ticker tape to come through and tell them what was going on the stock market. Now you flip on the channel and they're running it down on the bottom of the channel. So it's available to everyone. And they're reading it. Oh, it's going up. Oh, it's going down. Oh, it's going up. Oh, it's going down. Scared. Fear. They panic. And how quickly that panic can travel from one person to another. The underlying the fear is the concern that we will lose what we have acquired. Underlying the fear is fear of lack, fear of limitation. And this brings us to a revelation that can ultimately place the nation upon a path which leads to true security and well-being. When we are filled with fear, it blocks our prosperity and our abundance. You've heard this over and over. But look, he's applying it to a nation now. But a nation begins with you. So can you see how each one of us is responsible for the physical manifestation? So the more of us that are not moved by our fear, then the more our country will prosper. Do you not see the connection here that I'm trying to make? One of the greatest principles of prosperity is that we demonstrate prosperity by giving rather than getting. So the problem in America is that we have become a consumer society. I got to have a new phone. It's not enough that you have a nice phone that works really well. They put out another one that does one new bell whistle, and you've got to have it. Oh, it's got a wider screen. Oh, it can touch another phone, and I can grab a hold of that. They are figuring out a way for you to spend your money. Even though you have a perfectly good phone. I'm guilty. I can say this because I'm guilty. The problem in America is that we have become a consumer society. We're getting is the consciousness of the nation. Getting. Acquisition, holding on to what we have acquired is the national pastime. There's a comedian, I cannot remember his name, George Carlin, and he talks about how we have a lot of stuff. He's gone now. He's transitioned over. Maybe you'll Google him and find a video of him talking about our stuff. He says we have so much stuff we build houses to to house our stuff. And when the house is not enough, we don't have enough space in our house for our stuff, we get these little storage units to hold our stuff. And it's so true. It's really funny. He breaks it down about how we are consumers. And we don't even need most of the stuff. So he says, this author is telling us that acquiring our stuff is our national pastime. He there's a phrase that's called homo consumens. We're not homo sapiens. We're a homo consumens, the total consumer. And it rules the day and the night. More is better, and shop till you drop. These are more than just cliches when we discover that the average American consumes 18 tons of natural resources each year. In fact, we consume twice as much today as we did 40 years ago, but there is no reported increase in happiness. The number of people reporting to be happy actually has declined during this period. So acquisition and our identity have merged. Success is measured by what we have rather than what we have given, by our purchases rather than what we produce. Economic councils and company executives certainly do not view us as spiritual beings. Sometimes they do not even see us as people. We are called consumers. And regrettably, their description is accurate. And in addition, collectively, we are not people, we are the market. Goods are not offered to us, they are marketed to us. Children between the ages of 4 and 12 are a $9 billion market. Teenagers are a $93 billion market. This is the kind of economy and society that we have created. And I'm going to tell you, your teenagers are the main target for companies today. There's a whole series on PBS talking about how your teenagers are marketed to every day and what they are bombarded with and the choices that they are that they have, and how it's dictating to them how they should act, and you know, and what makes them sexy or appealing or beautiful. It's mind-boggling. But they're all going after that $93 billion market. So a consumer society is bombarded by advertising because the economy is driven by consumption. And without increased buying, it falters. Every day, 18 billion display ads appear in magazines and newspapers across the country. In fact, in most cases, the print media is sustained by the advertising revenue rather than subscriptions. I shared with you that Google makes all of its money on advertising. That's why they're able to give you so much. $14 billion catalogs are mailed to potential consumers every year. In 1994, the collective advertising expenditure in the nation was $148 billion. This is more than the 1990 reported gross domestic product of the top 20 economies in the world. We have more shopping centers than we have high schools. The sheer volume of the advertising is immense, but from a spiritual perspective, its message is what is most disturbing. Promises of loving relationships, promises of fame, promises of self-esteem and prosperity are made if we buy a particular product. If we consume, we will be happy and fulfilled. Not the answer. Hello? It just keeps you wanting more. You keep coming up empty, and so you buy something else. And you continue to come up empty. We consume, but we're not happy. The signs are all around us. We do not even feel secure. This is one of the reasons we must have more and more, because a way of life has been created that is fundamentally flawed. Dr. Reggie says it will never be enough. It will never be enough. I believe we sense that there is a problem, but we are addicted to acquisition. We have not found a better way. That's why this next book study is so important. And she identifies what is the critical addiction that we have to resolve. He's identifying it here. How do you get there? Join us next week or tomorrow as we begin that journey. He says, as I write, I realize that I must heed what I have written, for I too am caught up in the web of acquisition and consumption. Me too. I'm raising my hand. How many of are you out there have the courage to say, I am caught up. I am addicted to being a consumer. Have the courage to face that reality that about you right now, but we're going to also have the courage to change it. Flowing from within me are words that anyone in the nation could have written, because we know that something is amiss when fulfillment and even love are tied to what we acquire. There is a problem. But the good news is that there is also an answer. Every nation has either its elected or self-appointed leaders, but the true leadership of any country is its people, you. History records times of revolution and the overthrow of kings and dictators and governments, but even when the people do not rise up, they still determine the direction that becomes the future and eventually the history of the country. So if we are to experience true security and well-being, then we must be the ones to lead the way. I believe the evidence of change is with us right now. So please note that acquisition is not denied in its place in daily life, but it is assigned to its proper place. It is important that acquisition not be denied, because whenever there is denial of something basic to human nature, there is usually a very unwholesome expression. Therefore, in the future, we will not deny ourselves the joys of human expression, but we will not allow those pleasures to dominate in our inner or our outer lives. Let us pose again Jesus' question, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Where there is a truly prosperous nation, where there is truly a prosperous people, there is simplicity. And boy, have I learned that lesson. Simplicity appears to be living with less, But this does not mean you're depriving yourself of some of the nice things of life. It is living in a way that allows us to be true to our spiritual nature. Simplicity is living out of one's highest values. And people are beginning to do this. Sometimes they're kicking and screaming. Sometimes they're having to give up stuff that they thought was so important to them, you know. But they're moving in that direction. And I'm going to tell you, when you move on this path, you will... Jesus said, walk away from all of that stuff and come and follow me. That's what he asked someone. And the guy was there like, how can I give up all this stuff? Because he had so much of his value, his self-worth attached to the things, to the physical manifestation, which I'm going to tell you, I discovered all of it turns into junk. The minute that it's out of sight, it's junk. You place the value on it. You determine its worth. A diamond, just a rock. But whoa, it's valuable. I gotta have tons of them to show how wonderful I am. It's just a rock. End of the day, it's just a rock, is it not? It doesn't add one iota of value to the divine perfection you were created in. Can't even measure up to it. That spark of life in you. What does he say? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his life? That spark of divinity in you. People are giving up career opportunities in order to spend more time with their families. My brother is and his wife are on the work for the Los Angeles Police Department. He was a supervisor of detectives, and they were having cutbacks. And of course, he was having to juggle the schedule of all of his detectives, and so they couldn't work overtime. And if they accumulated too much time, then he had to put them on leave, you know, to spend time. And what he was finding is that they were actually getting more work done, and these guys were beginning to appreciate the time that they had with their families when he had to lay them off for so, you know, a period of time. They began to appreciate living again. Amazing. People are changing their vocations. They're going back to school to train to do what they have always wanted to do rather than what they felt compelled to do by their parents or so that they could make a six-figure salary. I've shared with so many of you that what I'm doing this morning with you is my greatest joy. Never thought it would be, but it is. And I will do what I can to remain in doing just this. We have 90 seconds. I've got someone here who wants to say something this morning. Good morning, 816.
Good morning. It's Gloria. I just wanted to say good morning to everybody.
Okay, Gloria, I'm going to let Dr. Reggie go into the closing prayer. And then for those of you who are on the line, we'll go come back. Dr. Reggie, can you take us to our closing prayer?
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful lesson. Hopefully that we all really heard this with our hearts and minds and take into consideration the power we already have and the wealth of our souls and the identity of who we truly are. The source keeps us alive. The power keeps us alive as the source. And without that, we have nothing, no matter how much we gain into this world of things, things, things. It's more than things. We can't count the cash 6 feet under. We're gone now from that energy. We thank you for what we really have. We're powerful while we are here and alive. We thank you for that. Everything is more than enough. And we believe it is so, and so it is.
Oh, it is. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. What's going on?
Nothing. I was just saying good morning this morning. There's nothing going on in particular. I made it back yesterday, so everything is good, you know?
Oh, we're so glad that you're back. And again, we are giving you our condolences and holding you and your family in our prayers during this time.
I appreciate that.
So you start your book study tomorrow?
Yes, yes. I'm excited about that, too.
Good, good.
Yes, yes. The show was good today. There was a lot of good information in there. I missed being on there over the past few days.
Oh, well, you know, that's a good thing about the archives.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few callers on our line. Do you want to share with them where we're going to journey to next?
Yes, that would be fine.
Go ahead.
Oh, we're on now? Oh, okay. The new book study is The Critical Addiction, Breaking Free from Critical Addiction by Kaylee Marino. I think that this book is really going to provide us some good tools to help us break free. What you said earlier in the call about most of those habits are learned, that's very true. We come in as blank slates practically, and most of the habits that we learn are taught to us. So, and as always, holding true with what's taught to us can be unlearned, you know? So I think it's going to be a fascinating book study, and I'm just really looking forward to getting involved with it.
Okay, well, we're waiting. I can't wait until tomorrow, and we're so excited. We're glad to have you back. We certainly missed you in our chat room. It's empty when you're not there.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and good to be back, hearing all the good information and interacting with our guests in the chat room.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a shout out. How many of you guys, it's only a few of us on the line here, how many of you received my email yesterday with the video? Did you get it, Gloria? Have you had a chance to look at it?
I haven't had a chance to check my emails yet. We just got back last night, so I will check my email today, though.
Okay. Hey, let me get Jean on the line. Hey, you're psychic girl, aren't you? Did you watch that video, Jean?
Yes, I did, Cynthia, and it was phenomenal. What a blessing. Gloria, you got a treat. Once you see that, you'll never be the same. Once you see that video, it's going to really, Cynthia blessed me with it yesterday, and it was just such what I needed. It took me up to another level, and I was able to share it with other people. It's phenomenal. So I'll be watching it today.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It's gonna change a lot. Yeah, the way you know and what you see, it's gonna be it's gonna be a blessing. It's such a blessing.
I really think it's going to work really well in conjunction with your book study, Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it the Ho'oponopono you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay, I'm familiar with Ho'oponopono, but I haven't heard that video I haven't seen the video.
And you know what? I don't even watch the video. I listen to the words. How about you, Jean?
Well, I definitely listen to the words. I listen to the words, yes. And I've been watching all the other videos, too, that he has.
Yeah.
So, it is really, Cynthia, thank you.
Thank you. Ho'oponopono is very powerful. It is. It really is. So
uh-huh.
I'm sure that video is powerful. I can't wait to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, for me, it was more. It wasn't the images so much as it was
the words.
The track, because you can just close your eyes, and I mean that's it. My heart chakra just blew wide open. I could hardly.
Yeah.
This amazing forgiveness work. Amazing. And, you know, I tell you guys all the time that forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. I mean, our whole existence on this planet is a personal journey. It's an individual experience.
It really is.
Oh. And forgiveness is an individual experience. It's about you. It's about moving yourself into alignment. The doctor that bringing this ancient Hawaiian teaching to us was, I believe he was a psychologist or...
Yeah, he was a psychologist in a, he was actually in a mental ward in Hawaii.
Right.
Used that particular. That's actually how I started my path on forgiveness. It began with Ho'oponopono. So I mean, once I got exposed to that, I really went full into forgiveness. So absolutely, he started that with he did an experiment with mental patients where he used that Ho'oponopono on people who were literally written off by society. And it worked. It had a powerful effect on those people with forgiveness.
But these were the worst criminals.
Yes.
And and they were mentally disturbed. They did horrific crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was that nobody wanted to work in this facility. They could not get people to work in this facility. A lot of these patients were chained and bound, and and as the people would walk down the corridors, they were still trying to attack them. So the beauty of this work is he did not try to change them.
Mm-hmm.
He changed himself, his perception of who they were, and he emptied that place. He emptied it by working on himself. He says, if I can get rid of the data, meaning the belief systems about who these people really are, then it won't exist. That's why I say don't pay attention to the outer realm, to the physical reality. It's the inner work that's so important.
Definitely.
Yes, it is.
Because the inner is a reflection. The outer is a reflection of the inner. Completely backwards. We think the outer is a reflection. Somebody get it right for me. I'm all tongue-tied.
Yes, Cynthia, what it is, the inner reflex and affect the outer.
Yes.
Yes.
And the outer is just a reflection of what's going on the inside of us.
That's right.
Isn't that where your book is taking us as well?
Absolutely. Taking us into taking a look at what's going on inside of us, because just like you just said, that's what affects, and it also goes back to Wayne Dyer saying, when you change the things you look at, change, or the way you look at things, you know? So it's absolutely, and that doctor's name is Dr. Hugh Lynn. That was the doctor who developed Ho'oponopono.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me was that when you work on yourself, everything, like you said, everything changes. What I love what he said in one of his videos, he was saying, you're not the only one in the room. Your ancestors, I mean, all of you from your past is there. And when you change that data, because I had an incident, I had to change the data this morning. I had to tell the data, I love you. I forgive you. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! That data that I have that allowed my subconscious, which is that inner child, to embrace, and what I was doing, abusing, and neglecting, and hurting my inner child, which is my subconscious. I love it because I know I know how to handle this stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the data.
When I first
drained.
When I first started with Ho'oponopono a couple years ago, the thing that I had my initial response to that was, why do I need to be, you know, why do I need to say, you know, these things if someone else, you know, has wronged me? So that was the biggest thing that I had to get over, and I did, because he went on to explain why it's important to forgive or to ask for forgiveness even if someone else has, you know, wronged you in some way, you know. So it was just huge to turn that internal and make it about asking for forgiveness for yourself, and it heals what's going on. The same thing that happened when in the mental hospital, when he focused on himself, the people outside of him, they changed. They
mm-hmm.
changed in a major way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because
we are that universe. We are the universe.
And
we're
all connected.
And we're all connected.
It demonstrates how we're all connected as well.
Mm-hmm.
But not. And we change our world based on how we think. I mean, it's just amazing. That's why I say today, when we accept the responsibility of speaking forth the prosperity of our nation and get it straight in us and eliminate the fear in us, it has an impact for our entire nation. It can spread.
Exactly.
We have the power to bring heaven on earth. I mean, it's just amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
And these teachings, you know, we're getting little pieces at a time, but they all support the same truth, do they not?
Yes, they do. They point to the same, because the truth doesn't change.
No.
The truth stays the same. So if you're dealing in truth, then everything that you're dealing in is going to point towards that truth. Another good book on Ho'oponopono, Joe Vitale is, you know who Joe Vitale is.
He's from The Secret.
Yeah, he's from The Secret. He did a book called Zero Limits.
Wrote that book with this guy.
Yeah.
With Dr. Hugh.
Yes, Dr. Lynn. Mm-hmm. And that is a really good book about Ho'oponopono and how it changed his life and how he used that to go out and do other, you know, help other people change their life too. That's also a good read.
I've extended an invitation to both of them to be on our show to talk about this technology. So...
Right, I love it. And you know something, Dr. Lynn, he was saying how I went to one of the videos. He said he got it from this certain galaxy. He actually brings up, you know, the galaxy he got it from. This information, yes.
Well, it's
wow.
It's an ancient Hawaiian teaching. So
yeah,
but we don't know how, you know.
Yes,
but
he was saying it's not an earthbound, you know, type of knowing or whatever you want to call this
well,
technique.
We're all cosmic beings anyway, are we not?
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought it was really nice that, you know, he would even mention, you know, that level, you know, in one of his seminars.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really good, because I'm sure he's dealing with those kind of energies there, but I thought it was really good. And the thing, when I hear that, it allows me to know that I have the same power to do the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what that really put me there. That, okay, I can, you know, things I'm working with and want to know more about, I can tap into the, you know, to the other dimensions also.
Well, if there's anyone else that's on the line that wants to jump into the conversation, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. This is kind of what is this? Circles of Prosperity, the after show.
Yeah, the five-hour session.
Well, listen, I love it. I love you guys so much. Gloria, we're really looking forward to taking this journey with you tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. We will be front and center, ready to go in the morning.
All righty, sweetheart. Well, I definitely am going to call this the end of the show. God bless. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Peace, love, and light. Bye-bye.
Peace, love, and light.
Bye-bye.